and also those who are older, grade 1 through 6, over in this building. You can follow the children to that area. Thank the worship team for leading us to worship our God. Today, as we begin, we can bring up the PowerPoint. Can you find it there, Richard? We've been talking about God's Lordship here at C4 English Ministry, and we know that in the last week we remember 9/11. And I'd like us to take a moment, if we can get the PowerPoint up, the next slide, just to remember those families, those children who have lost loved ones 7 years ago. They had this in the internet, and these children spoke, the oldest one there saying, "I remember playing in the yard with my father. I remember him pulling my wagon. He was strong. He always made me feel safe. He was wearing the soccer jersey of his father. He said, I wish I could remember more, but we were so young when he died." Let's just take a moment to bow our head, and let's just open our mouth. In Chinese, we say kai ko dao gao, to open our mouth and pray, to allow others to hear us praying, and the Lord hear us praying for these children, for these ones who have lost loved ones, and also for those in our church who have lost loved ones. Let's pray as a church. Father God, for these children and other children, for the mothers, for the fathers who have lost loved ones, spouses, God, we lift them up to you today. We pray, God, that your Abba Father's Spirit would come and minister to them and let them know that they have a Father in heaven, a Father who loves us so much that he paid a great cost, a great commitment to bring us unto him. Oh, today, Jesus, we remember that you are Lord, and we bring ourselves humbly before you. Give us open ears to hear, open hearts, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We've been looking at Genesis. We've been looking at Abraham as he's gone on the Lordship journey, which we all have. We go to the next slide, and we can read there. We read chapter 17 last week and chapter 16 the weeks before, reading a little bit there from verse 1 probably to verse 5 when Abraham was 99 years old. And remember in verse 16, how old was he? 86. Ishmael was born. 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram has an excellent response, as we all should have. And he fell face down. And God said to him, "As for me," not "as for you," but "as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be a father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish your covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God, the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abram, "As for you," and this section gets interesting because a covenant comes in an unexpected way. "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they will be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God also changed the name of Sarai, his wife. We've been talking now for about a total of 6 weeks about the lordship of God and him and us on the lordship journey. And he's asking every one of us, am I the Lord of your whole life? Not just part of it, but all of it. Am I the captain of your boat? The king of your castle? The driver of your car? Is this true for you? We looked at Genesis chapter 16, and we saw that that was the Ishmael way. That was Abraham and Sarai taking control and then trying to bring about the fulfillment of the promise. How many of us try to take control from God and bring about things in His time now? It's hard for us to wait. But we see that as they took control, things got out of control. So chapter 17, God comes and he says, I am God Almighty. I am Lord, and you are not. We talked about a power struggle coming with God, a lordship battle that I believe each of us will be faced with and have to go through. I personally don't like battles or struggles, but a lot of times, you know what? It produces needed change. Most of us are just comfortable, if you're like me, sitting in the normality of life, the ordinary, the natural. I got the remote control in one hand, the TV in front of me. Things are good. Even though we know God is knocking on our heart saying, it's time to make a change, we begin to struggle. We hear that call. I don't want to change. God's saying, you need a little bit of change. I don't want to change. Need a little bit of change. We go to the next slide, and we see that like this baby here, we feel the same way. When God tugs on our heart, many times he does a surgery. And that surgery is him cutting away the things that he doesn't want to be there, causing change. And I think the next slide, when we have surgery, what is left? Scars. And many ask you, do you have scars? And many of you are like, yeah, I got scars. Especially us men. We're men. I remember I was riding my bike, a friend gave to me. We were racing, chain broke. I went over the handlebars. Here. Scars. Most of the face stuff came off. Shoulder a little bit, knees definitely still have it there. Cool! Check this out, Malon. She doesn't really care. But so we talked about, how about our battle with Jesus? Do you have lordship scars on your... And we know that when we have those scars, it means that we lost. How many of you like to lose? No, we don't like to lose. But with Jesus, it's a good thing. A lot of times in that battle, we think he's against us, but really he's working for us. I say that I like the castle illustration, that when we lose to him and there's scars on us because he's changed us, he's renewed us, he's made us new, that he waves the flag over our life and says, I have captured this man or this woman and their heart belongs to me. And look how beautiful they are. Look at the life that is surrendered, that now lives not for just themselves, but for others and for Jesus. A lot of times when that happens, we get an identity change. We'll go to the next slide. And that was the first surgery that Abraham had. It was an identity change, his name change. It was God putting the scar, the mark on his life and saying, no longer will your name be Abram. you're no longer in control, it's me, and your name will be Abraham. I will give you a new identity, and your identity will be in me, and I will be the owner of your life. You know, these terms are things that we don't like. You own me? No, you don't. I own myself. But with Jesus, we have to understand, with a loving father, with a mother who has full intent of loving you and bringing the best for you, this is a good thing for him to be the owner of our life. God does surgery on our identity. He breaks away, he cuts away things that are not of God. For me and my family, a lot of times I've heard my dad say, you know, I'm stupid. I don't know a lot. You know, how many of you say that about yourself? Is that your true identity? I say that about myself a lot. And I've tried to break that identity, which sort of gained its control over my life. I'm stupid. I don't know a lot. Now, don't any of you agree with that? I'm trying to get out of that identity. What about your identity? I know for a lot of us, I need to perform. And then when I perform, when I do what I need to do, then I am loved and accepted. Is that where your identity is? Many of you may say, I'm not worthy. People just don't accept me. They'll never accept me. So when you walk into a building, you immediately think, no one will accept me in here. I might as well leave now. Some of you think your outside is ugly when you don't see truly who God has made you and how other people see you and your beauty. God does surgery on us. He puts scars on our heart. He waves his flag over our castle and gives us a new identity. Who are you? I'm a Christian. What's that mean? Christ in me. There's a new song out. At least I've heard. Christ in me, the King of glory. Christ in you, your new identity. Who are you? I'm free. Who are you? I'm forgiven. Who are you? Thought I'd get a response. I'm redeemed. How many of us can say these things? I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Hallelujah, because I was tired of living in the old identity. Let's bow our heads and pray to the Lord God Almighty because He is here. This isn't a time of entertainment. This isn't a time to not meet with the living God. Let's bow our heads and listen. For some of you here today need a new identity. God wants to say, I want to cut away the old. I want to do surgery on your heart. No longer when you wake up in the morning or you go to bed at night, will those words come to you about your bad identity. No longer when you look in that mirror. Today the Lord wants to do a new thing in your life, to give you a new identity, to give you a new creation, His very Spirit in your life. Have you received Him as your Savior? Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Forgive me for not coming to you earlier. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. And save my life today from all my sins, from all my wrong identity, and put your stamp upon me today, Lord. Put an even stronger stamp, Lord, of your lordship in every area. Touch my heart, Lord. Be my all in all. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, we pray. Amen. Today we move on into some new material. We can hit the next slide. Second surgery we see is the circumcision, which for many of us, when we see that word in the Bible, like, whoa, weird, what's that? Covenant, circumcision. Today's lesson is going to be interesting. It's going to be, some of you say, whoa, that's kind of gross. But it's a subject that needs to be talked about in today's world, because this subject many times dominates, especially a male point of view. In our outlines there, I want you to write the word there, the second surgery is circumcision. On your outline, so you can take it home, put it in your Bible, and remember, the second surgery is circumcision. And not only that, but I want you to write, it's a mark or stamp of God's ownership on my power, my strength. Whatever that may be in your life, wherever you think you gain power and strength, God wants you to come under His lordship. He wants to take control of that. We look there in Genesis 17, 9 through 14, we see this interesting covenant. It's the covenant of circumcision. What is circumcision, you may ask? It's actually the cutting away of the foreskin of the penis of a male. But it's more than that. Very much here for Abraham, it is a lordship issue. The very word lordship you can write in your outline. In chapter 16, what was it? It was Abraham and Sarai. I can fulfill the promise. By what? What'd they do? You go and you have sex, Abraham, with Hagar. You can take care of it by your power and by your strength. We don't need God. Chapter 17 comes, and the first thing he says is, I am Lord God Almighty, and I will fulfill my covenant, and I will bring it about. And then he says, Abram, it's time to bow down before me. In every area, especially in this area of power and strength of your life. Circumcision was a lordship issue for Abraham. It is for us. It's a breaking of the male's power and strength. It's putting a scar on the male to remind him who is in control. A stamp of God's ownership on our life. For a male, they believe that through sexual acts, very much in the old times, in America we may not have so much this concept anymore, but that they can reproduce. They can establish the family name. Continuation of myself. It was very much, if my name Tallman, if I have a son, two sons, three sons, 10 sons, man, I got the power. If you've ever, America doesn't rule, but if you've been in China, if you've been in Africa, you know this is true. The male dominance. Abraham and Sarah is the same way. I can continue my lineage. I don't need God's help. I have the power. Today, for the man, the penis, the erect penis, is a symbol of God, a man's manliness, his strength to dominate women, to control them. This may be a little shocking, but many of you young may not know. But the phrase, I get a rise out of that, or that turns me on, women, that is not a phrase you should be using. For that is directly related to this issue. Many of us should not be using that. For it's very much connected initially 10, 20 years ago to the power issue. Men, for us, this area can very much be used and abused in the wrong way. In China, in Taiwan, where I live, China News came out, had an article about foreign men who came to Taiwan and they lived there. It was very much a sport for them that at Friday at 5 o'clock all the way to Sunday at 12, they had a competition among one another. How many women can I have sex with? Did they use and abuse the power and authority that God had given them? Cultures and nations around the world still worship the power and strength of a man in this way. In Taiwan, I went to Sun Moon Lake. We had to swim across the lake. I didn't go all the way. I jumped in the boat. But on the way back home, part of the tour was to stop at a temple. We stopped at the temple. They had some nice like corn there that was barbecued. We ate a little bit of that. I don't really like the barbecue stuff on the outside, just like the corn. But got that. We're walking around the temple. You know, dude, this is not my favorite place to go, but that's where we stop, use the restroom. Every temple has a restroom close by. You go in, we're walking around, I get to one area in the courtyard, I'm looking around, big stone statue in the middle, I'm like, whoa, what's this? Walking around it, what is this? Yeah, step back, 10, 12 feet high, it's an erect penis. In the temple, worshiping the power of a man. Today, on television, we very much see over and over again. I came back to the States. I like to watch sports shows. Every time, male enhancement. Over the news, what's the number one commercial? Erectile dysfunction. It's something men and women in the States and all over the world worship. It's almost sick to a point. Why can't it be that in the intimacy of marriage with the wife, that there the power is used in a correct way to love, to have children that we can love, and to love God in that way? Here in Genesis, believe it or not, we see God dealing with this personal issue, and Him saying that He wants to stamp His ownership on a male's power. To do surgery. To say, Abram, you are not God. I am. And you will bow down to me. God wants to circumcise all of us. Whoa. What He's saying there, as we read in the Bible, it's not cutting away a foreskin. It's doing surgery on our heart, so that we can come under the lordship of God in every area of our life. Every area. When we read in the Bible, we see four different meanings that circumcision comes out. One is the circumcision that very much the Jewish people were saying, I am circumcised. They are not. It was an identity for the nation. We cannot talk about that today, because I only have a short amount of time. Number one, thank you, Esther. We did get this on the PowerPoint. Good. It's very much here, the covenant. What is a covenant? It's a promise. It's a commitment. If you want to get even stronger, it's a devotion to someone. When you make a commitment to get married, you make a promise. And that's your whole life, to live for that person, to care for them. None other. All the other doors go shut. In your outlines there, it's not written, but I need you to write that. Number one, a promise or commitment. Can you say, He is Lord, I am His? Let's say that together. He is Lord, I am His. All for Jesus. Can you put your name in there? Kurt, all for Jesus. A commitment, a devotion, all for Him. The second meaning, we go to the next slide, we'll see there is a physical circumcision, which we've been talking about. But it's actually God declaring lordship over a powerful physical body. And we don't want to just talk about males, but females also. God being Lord over our body. The third meaning of circumcision, which we read throughout the Bible, is a circumcision of the heart. It's very much of a cutting away of our power, our lordship, our sin, and ourself. I think, do we have the next one? Yeah, here, we'll get a better understanding what it means to be circumcised of the heart. It says, for in Christ the fullness of the deity lives in the bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised. This is talking to every person. In the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but by a circumcision done by Christ, our Lord Jesus, in our heart. How many of you have been baptized? You've been circumcised. This says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Cutting away of the things that God does not want in your life. Deuteronomy 10, 16, circumcise your hearts, he tells the people. Therefore, do not be stiff-necked any longer. It means bow before our Lord. Deuteronomy 36, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants. You may love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number one commandment, what is it? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a lordship issue. Are you bowing down to him? When we say that God circumcises our heart, we say that he circumcises our desires, the desire to do what we want to do. He circumcises our will, our strong will. How many of you are strong-willed? I can almost pick you out just by knowing you for a few months. Strong will. Will you bow that to God's will? A circumcision of sin in our life. I don't know what your sin is. You do. Will you let him cut that away to give it to the Lord? You know, one thing I got into Taiwan is complaining. Any of you complainers? Really? You see that in the Old Testament? God doesn't want us to complain. It's hard not to. It's hard not to. But to allow God to cut that away from my life. When it comes down to it, it's one word. Esther. It's a cutting away of the self. Now, when you cut away yourself, what's left? When you cut away yourself, what's left? Nothing. Nothing. Unless you have Jesus as the Lord of your life. And then very much when God cuts away yourself, right there in the middle of that picture, you have a nice word that says Christ or Jesus, Lord of my life. And people will see it. They will see it if Jesus, when all of yourself goes away, they will see Jesus. How many of you want that in your life? To stop seeing yourself. I know myself. Talk about God being the Lord of our body. I don't have a lot of time. I got to finish soon. But the fact is, for me, you know, I'm just the type of guy, I work on it, work on it, work on it. But when it's myself, I say things I shouldn't be saying. It'd be nice if I cut that out. And when I do, then I say the things Jesus wants me to say. But man, is it hard to control the tongue. On we go. Men. Very much, men. I'd like just to speak to the men. Thank you, Debbie, for singing that song. Men, next time, let's shout it out. But men, is God the Lord of your body? Your strength, your power, sexual ability, sexual temptations. Sorry, but you know, by the time men are 11, 12, these things start to happen. Can you say, Jesus, I want you to drive the car? I say, every man, you know, underneath the hood's got a Mustang engine ready to go. Can you keep it in the barn until you're married? To say, hey, Jesus, let me give you the keys. I want you to be the Lord of that. In our outlines there, today I want to make it very much personal to you. Are you committed to the Lord? Do you want to try? It does not mean you're not going to fail. It doesn't mean you're not going to fail. It just means that your heart, above all else, wants to serve the Lord and be committed to him. Can you put there, men? Is the Lord of your whole body? Very self? Can you write yes? Be honest. Don't write yes because your friend's looking at it. You hide your paper. You write yes or no because this is between you and God. Circumcision just isn't for men. It's also for women. The spiritual, the circumcision of the heart. So on we go. Women, is God the Lord of your whole body? God has made you a woman, beautiful, attractive. That's how He's created you. And the desire for a woman is to be desired. The desire of a woman is to be desired, for people to look at her and say, you are beautiful. I tell my little girl all the time, you are beautiful, to let her know that she can be beautiful in her daddy's eyes and in God's eyes. She doesn't need to have, oh, is that boy think I'm beautiful? You know, yeah, when she gets older. But women, you want to be desired, and so you begin to wear things, low-cut tops, tight shorts, you know, tight shirts. Do they look at me? Do they see me? Am I desired? But we really need to understand the difference between being desired and being loved. Because I can tell you, there's a million men out there will desire you and your body. But what you want is love. One day to find a man who will cherish you and love you for who you are. Because when everything's cut away from you, they see Christ. Women, can you write in there? Is God the Lord of my whole body? Your very self. I want you to take a moment just for yourself before Jesus and write that in there. Today we talk about the circumcision of the heart, but before the circumcision of the heart goes to our body. When I first saw Malon, my heart, you know, whew, emotions going, everything. First thing I went, as I got home, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, you need to be the Lord of this relationship, because if you are not, I will screw it up. I've screwed it up in the past. And you know, we'd like to think that everything's clear cut, but our emotions, our heart, what's the heart? How can our heart control us? I have no idea. There's something working more than just a beating organism, especially when you see a woman you like or you see a man you like. Things happen. And so it's not just him being Lord over our body, it's Him being Lord over our whole life, very much of our heart, to cut away all of our will, our self-desire. So we talk about, how about your eyes, Esther? In there, what you see. Internet, magazines, movies, TV shows. What are you watching? I don't know. Jesus knows. Right in there. Is He the Lord of your eyes, yes or no? Your ears. What you hear, the music you hear. I mean, that's one area God did major surgery on me. I'm turning it to the Christian station. Oh, man, this stuff is boring. Woo. Oh, there's one song decent. Ooh, praise the Lord. 1 out of 20. I mean, that was way back when, you know, basically nothing was on. Now things, wow, you got a lot better selection. I can take an iPod. What are you listening to? How are you using your ears? Who are you listening to? I like the popular group. Ooh, I didn't like what they said right there, but I'm staying in the group. Ooh, they said that about me? I can't believe they said that about me, but I'm staying in the group. What are you listening to? Is the Lord of your ears? Please, in there, for yourself, write yes or no. Your mouth, your tongue, what you say, how you say it. Do you build up or do you tear down? We need to watch that, even in our sarcasm. I'm a person of sarcasm. I need to watch it. Do you talk about others and their faults and enjoy it? We shouldn't be. I find myself sometimes my heart going there. Lord, come and do circumcision on my mouth. Cut away the things that's not of you. Do you and like it? Do you yell and get what you want? Do you lie and think it's safe? It's safe. Right in there, yes or no, the Lord of my whole life. Hands, what you do, your feet, where you go, is Jesus Lord? Yes or no? Some of you are getting ready to go to college next year. College is interesting. They always have the college club. Always got it. I went to a club once downtown Cleveland. It was like some factory. We got in, we had to like go up in a grain elevator and think, whoa, is this thing gonna work? Got out, like dark, couldn't even see where you were going. Blue lights, smoke. I was like, oh my Lord. I kept my back against the wall. Like, I don't want anybody sneaking up behind me, you know, like moving along. My heart just felt like I was in hell. Where'd my feet go? What'd I do? Is the Lord, Lord of your life? Can you make a commitment today? And on that piece of paper, you hold on to it. You hold on to it in your Bible. Between you and God. Between you and God. Are you committed to Him be Lord? Right, yes or no? Self-will, self-desire, our very self. It's powerful. It was powerful for Abram. It's powerful for us. Jesus wants to be Lord of it all. He wants to cut it away, the things that are not of Him, so that all that's left is Jesus. He was so radical in that He went to the cross. And died for you. Let's bow our heads. Between you and God, I'd like you to use your heart right now, your self-will. And I'd like the Holy Spirit to come and speak to your spirit. For the will of God to come and speak to your will. And I'd like you to listen. I'd like you to make a decision today, a decision of the will that God has given you, and say yes or no to Jesus. Use the mouth He's given you right now and softly say yes or no. To be Lord of your whole life. God, today we pray that You would break us, that You would change us. Personally, God, I don't like that, but I know I need it. Do surgery on our hearts, God, especially people's identities here, on their power and their strength, on their very self. God, forgive us. Forgive us, God. When we have put ourselves so much forward that we have hurt You and we have hurt others. God, for some of us who have gone too far in the desires and the wills, the sin, God, come and wash us. Your blood, Jesus, is all they need, all we need. God, if they're having a difficult receiving, God, speak to them. And let them see how pure they are underneath Your blood. Come and be Lord God, mark us, scar us, wave the flag over us, around us, that You have captured our very soul, our heart, our will for You. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Announcements there. I'd like to invite